The national security law is an incredible burden and actually a block to press freedom.
The final edition for a Hong Kong newspaper. It's Friday, June 25th. This is VOA Asia. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. Find us online at VOA Asia Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube. Also ahead, Australia urged to evacuate Afghans. Protecting pangolins. What do we really know about UFOs? It's all on today's VOA Asia. Hong Kong's Apple Daily has printed its last edition, as national security law charges leveled against its founder and executives have forced the paper out of business. VOA's Jessica Dreet has details.
The end of an era. Hong Kong's Apple Daily printed its last edition Wednesday night, as supporters held up smartphone lights in solidarity outside the newspaper's offices. The closure comes 1 week after security forces raided Apple Daily's offices, froze company assets, and arrested five executives under the national security law. With founder Jimmy Lai already in jail, the fate of his pro-democracy paper is chilling Hong Kong's once vibrant media scene, journalists say.
We will worry about reporting subjects that are associated with the national security law, such as topics related to sanctions and independence. This will create a chilling effect. People may avoid reporting this sort of news.
Hong Kong authorities accuse Apple Daily of using journalism to endanger national security. And they dismiss Washington's criticism that the charges against Apple Daily are politically motivated.
And don't try to accuse the Hong Kong authorities for using the national security law as a tool to suppress the media or to stifle the freedom of expression. All those accusations made by the US government, I'm afraid, are wrong.
Apple Daily says its style of journalism has been a thorn in the side for Hong Kong, resulting in years of pressure.
However, the legal system in Hong Kong had always protected us up until 2020, July 1st. The national security law is an incredible burden and actually a block for press freedom.
While Apple Daily's closure is described as a dark day for media, in the digital there is still some hope, says a political analyst.
But does it mean there's no free press in Hong Kong? Not necessarily. It's 2021 and it's a digital age. There are a lot of online news media emerging, such as Stan News and Citizen News, and there are other popular news accounts on Facebook, on Twitter.
But with one less newspaper in Hong Kong, and journalists wary of crossing the national security law's red lines, many see a grim future for press freedom in the region. Jessica Dree, VOA News.
You'll find more on this and all the stories you hear on today's VOA Asia by following us on Twitter at VOA Asia. You'll also find us on Facebook and at the voanews.com website. These are among some of the top Asia headlines you'll find right now when you visit voanews.com. India's Modi to meet Kashmir leaders for the first time after altering region. U.S. puts trade restrictions on five Chinese companies over forced labor allegations. China to challenge Australia anti-dumping measures at WTO. Hong Kongers in the United States lament changes to island since 1997. Tech divide hampers COVID inoculation drive in India's rural areas. You'll find expanded coverage of all these stories and so much more when you visit us at Facebook at VOA Asia. Also stop by Instagram and Twitter and at the voanews.com website. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. Let's continue with VOA Asia. Australia is being urged to agree to an immediate emergency evacuation of Afghans who worked for its military during the long conflict in Afghanistan. Australia, whose involvement began in October 2001, has said it is fast-tracking visas for former interpreters. From Sydney, Phil Mercer reports.
Campaigners this week released a list of the names of nine Afghans who worked for Australia during the conflict in Afghanistan and were allegedly murdered as traitors by the Taliban in reprisal attacks. This is despite a recent announcement the Taliban made, pledging they wouldn't retaliate against Afghans who worked with foreign groups. Islamic militants are attempting to retake control of Afghanistan as foreign forces leave. Interpreters played a key role during the conflict. Campaigners have said about 1,000 Afghans are still going through Australia's visa process, but they say it's taking too long. Stuart McCarthy, an ex-Australian soldier who was deployed to Afghanistan twice, has been an advocate for former Afghan interpreters and other staff. He says he believes the closure last month of the Australian embassy in Kabul has made it much harder for the interpreters to leave Afghanistan safely. He submitted an emergency evacuation plan to the Australian government. McCarthy told the Australian Broadcasting Corporation the rescue mission should be undertaken without delay.
It could still be conducted very rapidly, very effectively, and in my view, it would be a very good way for us to end our 20-year-long military commitment to Afghanistan. And in my view now, if we're not making these sort of decisions today or tomorrow, essentially what we'll be doing is allowing these civilians to be slaughtered by the Taliban, and our own government, including our Prime Minister, would have blood on their hands.
Senior foreign affairs officials in Canberra have conceded that locals who worked with the Australian military in Afghanistan are in danger. Australia's Immigration Minister Alex Hawke has tried to reassure Afghan interpreters waiting for a protection visa they were being given the highest priority in the humanitarian program. Hawke said 180 visas had been issued since April, but he wouldn't reveal how many applications were still being assessed because of operational and security reasons. Independent Senator Jackie Lambie told the Federal Senate that it was absolutely shameful to leave the interpreters without protection. The world, she said, is watching how we treat our mates. Phil Mercer for VOA News, Sydney.
Still ahead on VOA Asia, a large-scale problem for a small, scaly animal. Happening now in Asia, former President Benigno Aquino III of the Philippines, who inherited the pro-democracy mantle from his iconic parents, helped topple dictator Fernando Marcos, and had troublesome ties with China, has died at the age of 61. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. It's nice to have you with us today on VOA Asia. A pangolin is a scaly mammal that is one of the most trafficked species in the world. It's highly sought after in southern China and Vietnam, as its scales are believed to have medicinal properties. Pangolin meat is also considered a delicacy. An estimated 100,000 pangolins are thought to be trafficked a year to China and Vietnam. Now, a private game reserve in South Africa is collaborating on a project to rescue trafficked pangolins. Romain Jansen has the story from the southwest province of KwaZulu-Natal in this report narrated by Carol Gunsberg.
Ecological monitor Charlie DeVos is trying to locate a pangolin.
Okay.
Holding an antenna, she is searching for a signal from a transmitter attached to the small, scaly mammal.
So she's right there for us.
This female pangolin is hunting an ant colony. Last October, she had been hunted, found in a car trunk in a police operation that saved her from likely illegal export. Pangolins are coveted in East Asia for their meat and especially for their scales, which are used in traditional medicines. This particular pangolin seems to be in good health.
Okay, so the sign for us of a healthy pangolin is that it's walking with its tail up and that it's not dragging the tail. It's also only walking on its two hind legs. You'll see it's only using the two front legs for digging and finding the ants and termites.
Pangolins seized by customs officials are treated at the Johannesburg Wildlife Veterinary Center, then sent to Finda, a private game reserve managed by luxury tour operator And Beyond. No pangolins had been seen locally for more than 40 years before the project began in 2019. Before the Finda project, 4 out of 5 rescued pangolins did not survive reintroduction, according to the Pangolin Working Group. So Finda ecologists carefully supervised the animals after their release.
Without human and veterinary intervention, pangolins that left the hospital in seemingly good health had underlying conditions because of the traumatic experience they had during the poaching. And if we weren't monitoring them as intensively as we were, we wouldn't have been able to pick up these issues and those animals wouldn't have survived.
Monitoring requires a transmitter and GPS beacon. 14 pangolins at Finda had been fitted with tracking equipment. Two died, but a baby or pup was born last December, perhaps the first birth in the wild since the pangolin had disappeared from the area.
Pangolin are poached to make traditional medicine. I would love some other people, if they found any pangolin on the road or elsewhere, they can bring it to the right people.
The Finda Reserve and its partners aim to release enough pangolins to have a population that can be sustained and shared with surrounding reserves. For Romain Chanson in KwaZulu-Natal Province, South Africa, Carol Gunsberg, VOA News.
What do the Pentagon, the FBI, and other U.S. intelligence agencies know about UFOs? A forthcoming report is expected to draw few conclusions and raise many questions, especially about U.S. adversaries. Matt Dibble explains.
A much-anticipated report on UFOs is due to arrive in the U.S. Congress this week. Over 120 cases of what the military calls unidentified aerial phenomena are included. But no determination has yet been made about the origins of the mysterious craft, say officials briefed on the report and interviewed by the New York Times. The U.S. government's scrutiny of the phenomenon was prompted by U.S. Navy recordings showing unknown objects maneuvering in extraordinary ways. Luis Elizondo led the Pentagon's UFO investigation beginning in 2008.
These reports that were being taken by trained observers in some of America's most sophisticated platforms. These were real indeed objects, and they were in our controlled airspace, and we did not know what they were.
Lawmakers from both political parties say it is time to determine whether the objects pose a threat to the U.S. The report is expected to focus on whether the craft belonged to a U.S. adversary. Could Russia or China have developed what appears to be highly advanced technology? This is unlikely, says Marek von Rennenkampf, a defense analyst during the Obama administration.
China, we know, is struggling with basic jet engine technology. China relies on espionage to secure much of its advanced defense technology. Russia has a defense budget that is a fraction of the United States.
Given the limited information released so far, it's too soon to say whether the phenomena are a result of one nation's technological advances, say some experts.
What was splashed?
There could be explanations that don't require a great leap in technological capability. It's just something that, we weren't expecting. If it ends up being something from China or Russia or another country, what it really would indicate is a failure of imagination on the part of our intelligence agencies.
The report has been 6 months in the making, incorporating evidence available for many years. Indications are that intelligence officials are still not ready to reveal any firm conclusions. While there is reportedly no evidence of extraterrestrials, they have not been ruled out either.
From what I've heard from folks in the government, that there's not enough time to compile a coherent report on this issue. We don't have the analysis that we really need. This is a long-term project. I think it's a right step.
Adding to the intrigue, China has its own program studying UFOs, according to a recent South China Morning Post article in which a researcher names the U.S. as a possible source of the objects. Matt Dibble for VOA News.
That's our program for today and for the week. You've been listening to VOA Asia. You can continue online by following us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. Thanks so much for joining us, and we thank our service chief, Diane Gao, our VOA Asia team, Ira Melman, Doug Bernard, Keith Lane, and Amy Hybels. I'm Jim Stevenson. We're in Washington. We hope you have a wonderful day ahead. Be safe. Be well.